Yeah. Okay. I used to resist. I'd come in and I'd see all you people sitting over there eating cake, and I wanted some so bad, but I said, "No, Jim, your doctor says you're not supposed to do stuff like that." You know, I'm trying to keep the old battle of the bulge down as best I can. But anymore, I just gave up. I thought, "Philly with it." I come in and just join the crowd, and I tell you what, man, that's wonderful to come in here. And in fact, I don't eat anything, and I just wait to come here and eat that. So I've had breakfast now, so I'm good to go. Okay, well, good morning. Glad to have you folks all here this morning. And let's just go ahead and open with a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Dear Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you, Father, that we have it. You've given it to us. We're free to come and worship. Lord, help us to never take that for granted. And Lord, and again, I pray for those that can't. And Lord, those that meet in secret. And Lord, in fear and in hiding. And the fear for their lives or just persecution. And Father, thank you for the freedom you've given us. I pray, Lord, that will continue for a long time here. But Lord, our freedoms are being threatened. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'll allow this to continue. I pray, Father, you'll open our hearts for the message you have for us this morning. And Lord, as Jesus is teaching and just sharing with these Jewish leaders his oneness with you, his oneness with the Father. And it's infuriating the Jews to no end. And Father, but just help us to understand. Help us to understand understand these truths, that you are one with the Father, and Lord, and Jesus, that Jesus does things on his own because it's in accordance with the Father's will, and he only does what the Father wants him to do. Help us, Lord, to understand these truths as we go through this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we get started, I always say that it's always amazing, you know, after Sunday school, somebody will beat me back in the back there and say, "Hey, you brought this thing up, and hey, it just reminded me of something that, and I wanted to share this with you." And they share it with me, and I say, "Man, you should have told that to the class, okay?" And now they've all missed me. Anyway, one's going to come forward this morning and tell you what he told me. And so, Brad, we were talking about eternal security. And anyway, and Brad came and told me an interesting story, Brad Fast. He's going to come up and I said, "Would you share that with the class?" Now, that seems like it's been 6 months ago. Because, anyway, you did not want me here last week. I was a mess. So, anyway, Brad, come on up and share with us.
Say you were going to be in a car wreck and said a cuss word or something just before you got killed and didn't have time to repent, would that mean you were going to heaven?" He said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Well, would you mind going back and asking your pastor where you're coming from on that, where you can show me that in Scripture?" So that was the weekend, and he came back, and I know that he was kind of avoiding me at work, and so I finally went and asked him, if he talked to the preacher. "Yeah, I did." And I said, "Well, what did he tell you?" And he said, "Well, he told me not to talk to you anymore." So I never did get an answer on where they were coming from on that.
Yeah, don't even talk to him anymore. So anyway, thank you, Brad. I thought that was good. And again, I can't imagine, the fear, the constant fear that someone would be living under, you know, knowing that, you know. And again, it's going back, like you were saying this morning there at the breakfast table. That would be based on works. If you think you can lose your salvation, and then you've got to, I mean, if you do a bad work, your works can cause you to lose your salvation. Folks, that's not, then what Christ did on the cross wasn't enough. And I know there's people in this congregation that have struggled with that a lot. I've had them tell me that I've struggled for years with it. But just the constant fear that, man, if I sin and I don't repent from it, if I get killed, I'm going to hell. I mean, and to live with that, because you cannot keep from sinning. And I mean, folks, John, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written that ye may know that you have eternal life. You can know it. It's not, oh, I hope so, maybe. No, Christ paid for it all on the cross. It's done. And if you're saved, you're eternally saved. So, enough said. We need to move on here with our lesson here. Okay, we've been at the Pool of Bethesda. It's where we've been in the past. And Jesus healed this man and told him to pick up his mat and walk. And so he did. He's picking up his mat and he's walking around. He's, you know, it's just a little roll-up mat you put on your shoulder, carry it around. And anyway, the Jews see this and they're all upset and they're getting all worked up in a lather over this thing. And they're not rejoicing that the guy's been, you know, they're missing the whole point of everything. And anyway... And so they're asking the guy, who told you to do this? And he said, the guy, I don't know. It's, you know, whoever healed me, he's the one who told me. Well, then later Jesus comes and finds him and tells him. And so he finds out that it's Jesus. He goes back and tells the Jews it's Jesus. You know, he's thinking he's sharing good news with them. Well, it's just, they're coming after Jesus. And this is all kind of the beginnings of the wrath and the hatred that is being built up against Jesus. But anyway, we left off last time. We were ready to begin John chapter 5, verse 21 is where we were going to start. But being it's been a while since I've taught this, to get us up to speed, I'd like to go ahead and back up. And let's go back to John 5, 15. And just to read the whole thing, we'd like to read John chapter 5, 15 through 32. But then we'll come back and then pick it up in verse 21. But going back to 15 kind of helps us get back up to speed again. So who'd read that first for us this morning? Jeffrey? Now, pay attention to what Jesus is saying, because he is getting ready to give them a semi-load of information that they're not wanting to hear. And he's talking about his oneness with the Father, that I am the Son of God, and God the Father is my Father. And he's making it very clear to these Jews, and they're just getting madder and madder and madder as they're listening to him. So continue on, Jeffrey.
Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he gives of me is true.
Okay, thank you, Jeffrey. Okay, and again, the Jews are understanding exactly what Jesus is saying, is that God, I am the Son of God, and me and the Father are one. We are one, and they're understanding it, and their hatred is building. It's going to continue building all the way through. They're going to follow him and plague him till it finally ends up, up at the cross. And so, now, with that in mind, we're going to go back and we're going to pick it up at verse 21. That's where we left off the last time we were here. So in verse 21, it says, "For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them," that means making them alive, quickeneth, "even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." In other words, Jesus is telling these Jews, I can give life. Okay. God the Father has given me the power that I can raise the dead back to life. And they're getting furious, okay? He raises up the dead and quickeneth whom he will. Not only doing the same divine act, but doing it as a result of his own will, even as the Father does it. This statement is of immense importance in relation to the miracles of Christ, okay? Distinguishing them from similar miracles of the prophets and the apostles. Okay, it's different. Okay, who as human instruments were employed to perform supernatural actions. In other words, there's the prophets and those people, they did miracles. Okay, while Christ did all as the Father commissioned, as the Father's commissioned service indeed, but in the exercise of his own absolute right of action. Okay, in other words, Christ is doing it on his own, where the others, God working through them, you know, perform these miracles. You know, the prophets and the others that did miracles, the disciples and everything. So, but Christ is actually an action of his own will, which makes it different. Verse 22, it says, "For the Father judges no man." Both acts being done, okay, raising up the dead and then quickening them, not by the Father and the Son, as though it was done twice, but the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So here he adds to it that it was the Father's express intention to move all judgment over to the Son. Christ is saying, God has given me the authority over this. And the Jews are getting furious. God the Father, you know, because again, this is a kid that lived down the street. We know his family, okay? And this isn't the Messiah. They're not buying it, okay? You know, it'd be no different than if your next door neighbor said, I'm the Son of God. You know, he'd look at him and, you know, and anyway, it's kind of the same. I'm just thinking, you know, what must... this be like, you know, but it would be like that. Your next door neighbor say, you know what, I'm the Son of God, you know, and you're not buying it. And anyway, of course, he's not the Son of God, but by the Father through the Son as his voluntary agent, all judgment will be done in the same way. Christ will be the judge. He will be our judge. Verse 23 says, Jesus says, all men should honor the Son as they honor the Father. There's no difference. If you honor the Father, you honor me. And the Jews are thinking, we'll honor the Father, but we're not about to honor you. Okay? They must hold him worthy to the same honor as the Father. He that does not honor the Son as they honor the Father does not honor the Father. That's what Jesus is saying. You reject me, you're rejecting the Father. And they're thinking, no, we'll buy into the Father, but we're not buying into you. The Father himself will accept no homage which is not accorded to his Son. So if you don't believe in Jesus, you don't believe in the Father. I mean, it's just, that's his rules. Verse 24, that is, believeth in him as having sent me. If you hear his word and believe in him, you have eternal life. It says that you have eternal life. And it is immediate upon believing. When you believe, you have it. It is an immediate transaction, kind of the eternal security thing that we're talking about. Christ has the power to give spiritual life to those who hear his voice. And you'll be made alive from the dead spiritually. Believing in Christ is the only way to escape him as judge of your sins. The verse goes on to say, is passed. He's passed from death unto life, okay? Meaning it has passed over from death unto life. He shall not come into condemnation. Never, 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 never. So can you lose your salvation? No. That's Bible, folks. That's Bible. And there's denominations that criticize us for believing that and saying, well, that means you can just go out and sin all you want and, you know, live life as wicked as can be, not to worry about it anymore. You're on your way to heaven. If you want to believe that way, fine, but you go out and live like the devil, you're going to lose your salvation. Not true. God will see to it that he'll get you chastised, and he'll punish you, and if you stay in it, he'll give you an early death. He'll take you home, but you will not lose your salvation. That's the Bible. What a transition. Now we will face him as judge based upon our works after salvation at the wood, hay, and stubble judgment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And folks, the wood, hay, and stubble, anyway, that judgment, that is actually a judgment to give rewards, okay? If you study the scriptures there, you know, that God is going to be rewarding those extra rewards for those that have lived a godly life, that have strived to serve him, okay? You're not going to lose your salvation. You start at a base level, okay? But then God will add rewards. And if you're living an ungodly life, you lose your rewards. That's what the scriptures say there. And so, folks, is what it means. There will be degrees of happiness in heaven, okay? Now, we may not know the difference. You know, I'm down at this level and the other guy's at this level. We're all going to be happy, but we don't know that we have, you know, different blessings. And so there are, and this portion of Scripture teaches, there will be different levels of joy in heaven. We're all going to be very joyful. But, and again, there will also be degrees of punishment in hell based on how much light you did have and what you did with the light that you did have. So there's varying degrees of punishment in hell, varying degrees of reward in heaven. So I'll just stop there. Any questions or comments? Okay, let's move on. Verse 25. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So the hour cometh in its whole fullness. And now is. It's in the beginnings, okay? Beginning stages there. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. To signify that as it finds men in a dead condition, so it carries with it a resurrection power. And they that hear shall live. They will receive spiritual life. And by the way, he is given that title, the Son of God, in this particular ministry of giving life because only God can give life. A lot of times Christ is referred to as the Son of Man, but here he's referred to as the Son of God, okay? Because only God could give life. Man cannot give life. So he's referred to as the Son of God rather than the Son of Man. And there's various places in the Bible where he's referred to both ways, Son of Man, Son of God. Only God is a source of life, both physical and spiritual. verses 26 and 27. For as a father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And now here he's called the Son of Man, okay? Because he is able to execute judgment, because he was a man. He was tempted like we are, okay? And so from his Son of Man position, then he's able to judge men. And I'm about to dig myself in a hole here. So verse 26, and they who hear the voice of the Son of God will live, because he has the same power to give life that the Father has. Ephesians 5:14 says, awake, you sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Okay? Christ gives a light. This is what we do with the gospel. We're sharing the light. We preach the message of salvation in Jesus Christ, by which makes people spiritually alive. We preach that message. Colossians 2:13 says, he made you alive. Spiritual resurrection. He has the power for that, and he has the authority for that. The issue is not the physical resurrection only, but rather what follows the spiritual resurrection. He will judge men because he is the Son of Man. So he will judge men because he is the Son of Man as well as the Son of God. The Father, verse 27, the Father gave the Son authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Christ, who was in all points tempted like as we are, will be the judge of all men. So he is the life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. And he also has the power to judge. The appointment of a judge in our own nature is one of the most beautiful arrangements of divine wisdom in redemption. The fact that Christ is going to be our judge, we can rejoice in that. I'm just going to stop. Any questions or comments about anything we've covered? So, yes, sir.
Yeah. Kind of coming back to verse 24, as he closes out, this is a great verse for a lot of things, but again, touching on that eternal security, as he notes that last phrase, he says, but is passed from death unto life. The Greek for the verb is passed is a perfect tense, which speaks of a completed action, in this case, passing from death to life, but it has continuing results. So it's not an event that takes place that can change. It's an event that's taken place and the results remain the same continuously going forward.
Very.
To think of those that believe that they can lose their salvation, they would have used a different Greek tense here to give that possibility of going from life to death, going back to death, in order to come back to life again at some point. The tense is very clear. The action of that passing from death to life, that's completed. That's been done.
Mm-hmm.
But the results of that action continue on. So you still have the life.
Very good.
That you got at the moment of salvation. And so that action continues on. You still have life. And that's why it is called everlasting life.
Good point. Thank you. It's good to have a Greek scholar in here. Anybody else?
Somebody with a little bit of knowledge of Greek.
Tracy.
I just go back to that comment about the Jews just seeing Jesus as the boy next door. But the context here is he healed the paralytic man, and they were threatened by what he was able to do. I don't think there's any way they just saw him as the little boy next door. I mean, they've seen his ministry and they know what he's able to do. This is far more than just, you know, some kid or some guy. And he's demonstrated through his ministry who he is. And he continues to do that as we go on. And that's what they don't like. And that's what the Jews get so upset about.
Yeah. And again, just the fact that they just witnessed a miracle, and they're not even acknowledging that. You know, I mean, they're focused on their little agenda, and we got to be careful too. We don't get focused on our little agendas too. Anyway, I got to watch me for that. So, anybody else? Good comments. Okay. Let's move on. Verse 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth, them that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and them that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. It's not an actual hour, but an epoch, you know, a time period. A better translation would be an hour is coming, okay? It's still in the future, okay? In the which all who are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Everybody comes out of the tombs. They all hear his voice, okay? Not the spiritual resurrection, but the physical one, okay? The unsaved and the saved. And those who did good deeds are taken into a resurrection of life, okay? And those who committed evil deeds unto a resurrection of judgment. The point is simply to say again, everybody rises from the dead, absolutely everyone. Nobody's going to miss out, okay? Notice that they will be judged by their deeds, their works, okay? You say, well, I thought salvation was by grace. You're right. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone. So why are we judged by our works? We'll be judged on our works. They don't save us, but they affirm the reality of our salvation. If we are truly transformed as a child of God, it shows. Folks, if you have been saved, it's going to show up. You can't help it. The Spirit of God never resided in your life. He does now. He's not going to live there and not make some changes. From an unsaved person, you're going to see. Others are going to see a change that takes place, okay? You become a new creation, a new creature, okay? And things are going to change, and your want-tos are going to change, and your habits are going to change, and your lifestyle is going to change. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. You're going to see that change. You're going to feel it. You're going to know it. And the Spirit of God is going to bear witness with you that you are a child of God. And it is so wonderful now to not be afraid of dying, okay, as far as the spiritual end of it. I don't want to go through the process. Lord, just let a truck run over me and just make it be instant. You know, anyway, Nancy and I always said we both just wanted to die in each other's arms. And that was our hope, but God had other plans. So anyway, enough said on that. Or in Ephesians 2:10, it says, you are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, okay, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, at that bema seat, the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, judgment. We are going to be judged on after salvation. What did we do then? Okay, what does our life for Christ amount to? And we're going to be judged on what we did then. Now, God gives different talents. The Bible says all the way through there, and some people receive one talent, some receive five, others receive 10. You know, there's all different kind of illustrations of that. And so we're not all going to be great evangelists, okay? God didn't give us that ability. But whatever abilities, spiritual gifts that God gave us, we're going to be judged on how well did we exercise the spiritual gifts that God gave us, how well did we serve Him. And then rewards will be given based on that. Based on our lifestyle after salvation, not before. Any questions on that?
My Bible, I don't see anything about works here. It says done good. It says to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil. And you just hit on the point that we're not judged on our works. Because when we become Christians, we will demonstrate good works, but that's not our judgment here. I think there's an implication here that done good, that's great English, isn't it? That done good is to accept, or not accept, but to believe on Christ as our Lord.
Yes.
And that might be an indication, but I don't see works mentioned here in verse 29 or deeds.
Okay, a lot of times I got to stand back and think, what did I just say? did I say something wrong?
Well, you mentioned about good deeds, that we'd be looked at our good deeds, but I don't see good deeds here. I see those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of the condemnation. But I don't see the works in this one. Now, there's other. I see references of good works, but that's. We've had this discussion that as saved individuals and Christians, we should be doing good works because of the good that's given to us, as opposed to someone like a Mormon who does good works to earn their salvation.
Right.
This is mentioned that it has done good to the resurrection of life. It would be more of an indication, as I'm looking at that, that I'm believing on Christ as Lord, and not that making that statement that, you know, if I behave properly from here on out, then I will have resurrection of life. I already have that as a believer.
Okay.
But and being the believer and in Christ, on Christ, is, I think that's what is more mentioned here as far as what is being done good. Now, that's going to be an interpretation. I don't see anything about deeds here as far as where our judgment will be.
No, it's not here. But I was referring back to the judgment that we will face that is listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's what I was referring back to that because that will be the judgment that we will face. Now, it's not mentioned. Excuse me. Okay, no, it's not. You're right, Royce. It's not mentioned here, but I was just making reference back to we are going to be judged on our works.
Because we're saved, we are saved unto the
works. Yes, we are. Okay. I stand corrected, folks.
This is a confusing part here because one could read that and say, oh, if I'm behaving properly, I'm going to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But if I behave improperly, and that's not the part.
No.
It's my behavior is I recognize myself as a sinner and I need a Savior and I have believed in Christ as my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And He has converted me. And then I should be able to do good works. And so our question, you know, that James would be bringing also is that if you see someone that's professing to be a Christian and they do terrible things, were they even saved?
Right. No, you're absolutely correct. Okay.
I'm splitting hairs.
Okay. And there's times I don't state things clearly and properly. And so I need your help. Okay, because if you're seeing that, others probably did too. And it looks like, there's times you can read in this verse that you're saved by your works. No, you're not. The Bible doesn't teach that, okay? Because then we are saved unto good works because of salvation. Our lives should be lived in gratefulness and thankfulness and trying to honor Him in our daily lifestyle, just in thankfulness for what He gave us when He saved us. And because it, folks, it could have been the other guy. you know, what if it had been the guy sitting next door neighbor instead of you? Where would we be today if that was the case? And I just, I think about that a lot of times. Jim, where would you be if God hadn't saved you, if it had been the next guy? You know, I have no idea. But anyway, don't have to worry about that. That's taken care of. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So again, in his sovereignty. And okay, good point, Royce. Thank you. Anybody else? No, we are not saved on works. Not at all. John.
There is another point in Scripture, and I don't know where it is. I think it's in John, that God says in the Scripture that the good works you do is believing in the Son.
Mm-hmm.
That is the good work, believing in the Son. I wish I knew where it was, but I ran across it just the other day.
And I'm familiar with that verse. I don't know where it is either. But yeah, that is the work that God the Father wants us to do, is to believe in the Son. That is listed as a good work, I guess. So, anyway.
Kathy found that in John 6:29.
Could you read that for us, please? I think that's exactly what he's thinking of. So, okay. It's what I was thinking of. Okay. Good points. Good points. Anybody else? Okay. Let's see. Where were we? I've lost all track of where we were. Verse 29. Okay, yes. Verse 30. It says, I can't of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. And again, he's just describing the unity of himself between him and God the Father. My judgments are in the bosom of my Father, to which I have immediate access, and by me only responded to and reflected. They could not therefore err, as I live for one end only, to carry into effect the will of him that sent me, which is my Father. So whatever I do is right because it's the will of my Father. Okay. In verse 31 and 32. It says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. If there is other that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. In verse 31 and 32, it says, how brightly the distinction of the persons shines out here, the Father and the Son, all the way through here. You can see the two parts of the Trinity, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You know, the Holy Spirit is not mentioned here, but of course he's there too. This is the Son's testimony to the Father's truth. Even in the days of his humiliation, it testifies to the full consciousness on the part of the Son of the righteousness of the Father. Jesus Christ says, I only do what my Father has instructed me to do, and the Father has instructed, given a lot of things over to me to do. I'm the judge, and I can give life, and he's telling this to these Jews, and they're not happy campers. Okay, we got about 15 seconds. Any questions or comments before we close? Okay, let's close in prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for this testimony of Christ. The oneness, the closeness with the Father. And Lord, the two of the Godhead just working simultaneously. Lord, just help us to understand these truths as we go through this. And Lord, just help us to have a close walk with you. And Lord, we do know that one of these days we're all going to stand before you and be judged based on our works. Since salvation, have we honored the Lord? Have we honored you in our daily walk? Have we stood for the truth? Are we trying to walk in truth? And Lord, help us to do that. Lord, we want to have, it'd be wonderful to be able to receive some rewards, Lord, that's going to last for eternity. And your Lord, yet the scripture says if we do things with the wrong motive, the wrong reasons, wood, hay, and stubble. We don't lose our salvation, but we lose our rewards. And help us, Lord, to strive to have rewards. And Lord, just to be honored and glorified for eternity. I pray that you'll be with Pastor this morning as he brings the morning message. Lord, open our hearts. Help us, Lord, to listen carefully. Help us, Lord, just to try to live out what you've asked us to do in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.